Thanks be to the Lord that we may believe. And the Holy Scripture really says, he that believeth has entered the rest, and he rests in God, just as God rested of his works, so we may also rest in him by his grace. And when this happens, then all the unrest and all the uncertainty is over, and we rest in God, in that what he has done for us. In the verse which was read, everything is contained. Our Lord Jesus, in the sinful body of flesh, a body which we have, he went to the cross to once for all redeem us from sin and to give us the right to become children of God. How many understood of what we spoke of last night? Did you really understand it? Really? Because this is a great mystery. And I think that in the past centuries, great men of God, they have preached and they made much effort to put in order the things as they liked to see it, and they were not able to. Now we may recognize what God has done by his grace. Today, I don't want to preach, just reading what was said already. Before I do that, I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah, the precious word, Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The sermon which we deal with today has the title, There's a Man Here That Can Turn On the Light. And therein, Brother Branham used the two scriptures, the first one from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, from verse 15, and then also the second scripture from the prophet Isaiah, which we now come to. Firstly, I read the last part of the first scripture. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And then from the second scripture, the one from the New Testament, one moment, Matthew 4. Here, also the last part. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The whole subject of this sermon deals of the light. And Brother Branham sets forth and lines out that even the earthly, the natural life without light could not be here. And he lines out that the life is not in the light, but in the seed. But the light brings forth the seed. And in the seed is the germ of life. But everything is in works together in harmony. The seed is the seed. The light is the light. The life is the life. But everything belongs together by God. The same who created the earth also created the seed which was laid into the earth. He took care of that the light comes upon the seed, and also for that, that the seed receives the rain, and that in the seed is a germ of life, which just waits for that it is watered and that is brought forth. This is actually in rough things, everything what can be said. And if we see this in divine illumination, then we understand that the seed of God was laid into our hearts, and that in this seed is a germ of life, and that this germ of life was struck by the light of God. As then the people were there, but they were in the shadows of death, they were in darkness, and then they saw a great light, and the light always had to has to fulfill a purpose. Here Brother Bram says, it's a strange subject. I heard somebody speak about it, and I want to use it as a title. There is a man here that can turn on the light. You all know who is meant by it. No man, but he who is the light himself. Only he can give light. He who is the life is the only one who can give life. All the others may try it. He alone is able to do it. And therefore, we always come to him, because without him, we can do nothing. Now we are going to speak on the subject of light. And then he comes briefly to David. I don't know which kind of context is written here, but he says here, then in there a typing of David, which was a fugitive at the time of his excommunicating from his people. He was turned out, and Bethlehem was besieged, and the Philistines was garrisoned around Bethlehem. And David, a fugitive, a type of the church today, of Christ. See, Christ is a fugitive to his own church today. A fugitive is something that's refused. And David has been refused, yet he was anointed to be king. But the prophet had anointed him. This we understand what is being said. And I think, what a type it is today of Christ, a fugitive. Christ, a fugitive, a rejected one. God has gallantly taken us through those seven church ages. This Laodicean church, Christ was a fugitive outside of his church. rejected, trying to get back in again. He is a fugitive to his own church. And the reason he is a fugitive is because he is the Word. And they won't let the Word in. They have accepted creeds instead. This we all understand. And we must ask ourselves the question, in to what extent could the Lord enter in again? He doesn't come in by that we plan something, but that he finds entrance, that by receiving his word with all our hearts, he cannot be separated from his word. There where his word is rejected, there he is rejected. And there where his word is received, there he is received. And when there are so many churches who pray and sing, then this happens as it happened then. And the Lord said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Then it is being said, now, when you see his word being vindicated, or other words, made known, proved, that is the light of his spoken word. And without light, nothing can live without light. There is no life upon the earth today that but what has to come by the light of the sun in a botany life and so forth. And there's no eternal life outside of the Son of God. He is the light. This we emphasized already. All the life comes forth from him. That's how it is written in a psalm. And that's how it is expressed in a song. Here, we are told that all life comes forth by the light. If there would be no light on earth, there would be no botanic life. If everything is dark, then everything is dead. In the moment where light comes, life comes forth. And therefore we notice how important it is that at evening time there had to be light and the divine life to bring it forth anew. And on one place, Brother Bram says that the seed was already there. It's really written, literally. And God spoke, let the earth bring forth seed bearing plants, each one after its own kind. And there, Brother Bram seems to want to say, it was already laid into this earth, but now God spoke. And after it has become light, the seed could come forth. Beloved, we are of faith. We believe that we from eternity on were determined to behold the glory of God. The divine seed was in us, but everything was dark, everything was dead in the moment. When it became light, this seed had the opportunity to come forth, namely, after God has spoken. And after he has spoken, it became light. And he separated light from darkness. And the seed came forth unto life. He says, in the same way, only in the Son of God there is eternal life. Because he is the life. It continues. God ever does the same thing when he gets ready to use anything. Like he got ready to use this old star or whatever it was, this world. He had to separate the light from the darkness. from the finsternis scheiden. When er vorher, when he gets ready to use a group of people, he has to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use an individual, he separates the light from darkness. These are precious thoughts which are expressed here. When God created this planet Earth, who was veiled in darkness, he wanted to make it fruitful, useful. Firstly, he had to speak light into existence so that everything can be formed, can be shaped, that everything could have been put in order. And the same happens spiritually in this age. Not people put in order. People put in order all in their churches, in their denomination. And at the end, they have everything put in order without God. And what good is the best order for me if God is not in this order? God has his own order. He has his own plan. And this plan he carries out according to his order. It continues. God separates darkness from light, or light from darkness. And he separates death from life. And he does it by his word. His word is what always brings this forth. Also this we must understand. What separated the people at the time of Reformation who went out? What separated from all them who remained in darkness? It was the word. The word was preached, and all who received the word and who believed it, they came out. And that's how it was in every other revival. The word, after it is revealed, it has become light. And the people then walk in the light of his revealed word. It continues. And that's the way God has to do, has today. His seed is already here. His word, the only thing it needs is light on it. And he is that light. For he is the word. The word and the light is the same thing. The life in there is the light of the word. It is the life. The germ of life lays within the grain. And the life is what breaks forth and brings forth the light, the life out of the grain. Perhaps a bit complicated, and yet very easy, simple. The seed is there. The germ of life is in the seed. The seed is the word of God. And we received the word of God, accepting it. And the light of God struck this grain, this seed, it was struck by the light, and then it brings it forth unto life. And then we suddenly notice, then it's not that what we as feel as joy or blessing, but it is that what God by grace did. He predestinated his seed, his children, and also the word which they would receive at a specific time. It continues. So, life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it spoke of being manifested. Then that is light on the word. The word said so. And then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light bringing life. This is a short sermon, but a very mighty sermon. And it lets us know today that we are of divine kindred, that we are children of God, that God has laid his seed, his word into us. And it doesn't depend on your willing and on not depending on our efforts, but it depends on God's grace alone, which was given to us. I believe that each one who is here today can say that he believes God's word with all his heart. Not as it was preached in general, but as God revealed it by his Spirit in these last days. And here we are told, as long as the word is just written in this book, then people can question it still. But when the word which is written in this book is quickened by the Spirit and has become a seed in you and my heart, which comes forth to life, then it's not only written in this book, but then it becomes visible in you and in me. Then God lives it out through you and through me. And I think this is the whole purpose of all the proclamation of the end time message, that Christ takes shape in us and that we come into the full measure of the stature of the fullness of him and are no more just children in the Spirit, but that we are growing until we come from believing unto seeing. God has a way with us, a plan. He has created everything so wonderfully on this earth. And when God, at the end of the creation, he said himself, he looked at everything and he saw that everything was very good. And then he rested. And we see that the wheat which came forth from the earth, it is every year it is being sown anew, and every year it comes forth again. All the fruits, all the trees, all the plants, all the herbs, everything what God let come forth at the beginning comes forth unto this very day, every year. Should God not let come forth what was at the beginning? Most certainly, God is an almighty God. And he has for everything a plan. And he laid the law into it. Our brother was reading of the law of death and also of the law of life. And therein is the victory of life over death. It was manifested. Jesus Christ took away the power of death. And I believe he can also the frozen church. In our country, we have a public holiday. The people say, at a certain time, one must be careful, because then are coming the so-called holy freezing days. And I have the impression that these so-called holy freezing days have come upon all of us. And then from the holy freezing days, which are frosted, yes. Do you know what I want to tell you? Let us be reasonable people who are not strange when it's about natural things. Our brother Branham, if he would be here, in the next sermon, you will see him in a cowboy suit as he went hunting. Oh, you might say, is this Brother Branham who was preaching there in the front and whose sermons we read? Yes, but this Brother Branham was a very normal man. He knew when one goes to hunt, then one doesn't go there with a suit and tie and cufflinks. No, one just go to every occasion just as it is usable. Do you understand what I mean? We tried to transfer the natural to the spiritual, and then we have become so-called holy people, and then we have neither the one nor the other we understood correct. Beloved, the time has just come that we understand, on one hand, we are children of men, and on the other hand, we are children of God. We must just find out these things, and knowing that God, by His grace, has a wonderful plan, and this plan He carries out in our days. Everything on its place, everything will be correct. We read on here. All natural life comes by His spoken word, and the Son is His spoken word. He said He created a great light in the heavens for the day and a lesser light for the night. All natural life has to come by God's spoken word. A flower cannot grow without the light of God's spoken word shine upon it. For the Son is the spoken word of God. When He said, "Let there be light," it's God's spoken life. And no matter how much people try to say this, that, or the other, it still remains the same. And so we believe it also. We believe that God has spoken at the beginning, and that naturally He has given the law for the natural life. And after this, everything runs forth. In the same way, we find out that spiritually, everything runs according to His plan. Also, in this last time, here we are told, a flower could not grow unless God's spoken word would come upon it. Even the sun is the expression of that what God has spoken. He said, "Let there be light," and it was light. And He said, "The great light may shine on the day," and He called it sun, and the lesser light He called moon. Even today it's like this. Show me one atheist in this world who could say, "It's no more like this." We will see the other thing differently. We want to see the thing as we like. It remains as God did it. In the same it is in the spiritual. No man can turn the time back. We arrived at the end of the time of grace. The last things are being fulfilled. And therefore, for some, it is incomprehensible that the proclamation in this time is no more as it was 100 years ago or 50 years ago. And one thinks what was good at that time is also good today. Beloved, Noah had a message, but when Moses came, he didn't do what Noah did, but he had a divine commission. All prophets of God had at their time the word which God revealed to them, they brought it and they carried out the commission which was given to them. In the same way, John the Baptist had his commission. The Lord Jesus had to fulfill the task which was written of him, and the church has her task which was given to her, everything at its right time. It continues, and spiritual life, eternal life, can only come by God's spoken word of life. Life can only come forth from life. He is our life. The peace with God can only come forth of Him who has become our peace. And this is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, Paul could write, therefore, we have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual life, eternal life, can only come by God's spoken word of life. And when does the word of God become alive unto us? When it is revealed to us by the Spirit. Before that, everything remains dead, and it's just a letter which kills ourselves and which we can kill others. But when the Spirit comes into the Word, then He quickens it, makes it alive, and all who receive it are quickened. It continues, the light brings forth life. The life comes only forth by the light. All promises in the Bible become manifest when Jesus Christ, the Word, was made flesh among us. God always works through man. Man is God's subject. Here we have it. Not only in Christ, but also in the church. Every promise must be fulfilled. In Him all promises which referred to Him. In the church, all promises which were given to the church. And now we must understand that we are all members on the body of Jesus Christ, and that these members have to be put together so that they are usable for God, so that He can do what He planned to do. And the wonderful is that we don't have to add anything to it, but we just have to let God work. If you or I would have to do something, then we wouldn't know how and when we should do it. It is God's work in you and in me, in all of us. And this by grace. The word ordained for this time will be believed by all them who are determined to it, so that God in this last time can glorify Himself. And we spoke about it last night, that God through the prophets, and He spoke to the prophets. Now, God speaks in the Son to you and to me, to all of us. And it is He who walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks. It is Him who speaks to us also this morning. It continues here. And when the word brought into the right kind of heart, it will manifest itself. It will bring forth the light. It will break forth upon it. When the word is brought into the right kind of heart, it will manifest itself. When God spoke, let there be light. He hadn't contribute something to it. How will it be? How will it? No, he just spoke. In his word was the creating divine power. And the word could not return void. It had to bring forth the sun. When he said, let the earth bring forth all kinds of herbs, then the word which he just spoke could not just return to him as an echo. No, the word had to bring forth, namely the herbs had to become visible, because in this word was the creating power of God to bring forth from the earth what God just spoke. And there no plant could resist. They all came forth. And suddenly, it was no more void and empty. Suddenly, there was a paradise. Here the trees were flourishing. They were bearing fruits. Everything was created wonderfully. What happened? God spoke. And the word, I say it once again, God, the word could not return to him just as being word. Then God would not have spoken at all. You and my word, this can return void, yes, but his word not. What he says, it takes place. When he said, let the light be separated from darkness, and it happened. When he said, let the waters be gathered and let the dry land come forth, and it happened. Whatever he said happened. Can we then not believe that that what he promised for this time and what he revealed now and what he spoke now, that it can be manifested? Beloved, if we already believe that he has spoken out such mighty things, can we then not believe that also this can happen with you and with me? But we must look away from ourselves and looking on him whose word cannot return void. There will be a bright church in these last days. And you have read it in the last circular letter. The direct message to the bride which Brother Branham received. And he says therein, the bride will be at the end a word bride. There's the word super mentioned. I don't like this word because it sounds so natural, so earthly. But it will be an outstanding church, a glorious bride which will come forth. And you may say, how will this happen? Here, we looked at it already today. God's word is the seed, and he speaks, and it happens. The earth brings forth, and the church will bring forth what he promised and what he has spoken. If it would be words of men, then we could forget them and we could not rely on it. But what God has spoken, this remains. We could ask, how shall this be? Don't you worry. He takes care for everything. This is the nice thing, that he has the responsibility for it. That's how we read it. When the word falls into the right kind of heart. But what is the right kind of heart? Which believes and which receives. The heart in which the Spirit can make the word alive. Of Mary, it is being said, you have chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken away from you. What was this good part? Very simple. She sat at the feet of Jesus and heard every word and received it. This was more worth than everything else. And we sit at the feet of Jesus and we receive every word. And as sure as God has spoken, so sure He will bring forth the word as a reality in you and my life. It continues. And I say this with all love and respect. So is there something spiritually wrong with a man that will run back into his denominations of creed and refuse to see the Bible light when it's shining right before him? There's something wrong with him. People who in this time see the bright light of the word of prophecy and it shines in a dark place. This is clear to all of us. But those who are born of God, they recognized it. The darkness has never understood it and will also not understand it now. All who are of God hear God's word, and the word will not return void. It continues. And to you men that's listening to this across the world, wherever you might be, there is something wrong with your experience when you say that you love God and refuse His word. And here we have it. Many people made and make experiences. Some are singing and jubilating as everything is in best order. And they didn't hear yet what God promised for this time. And now somebody may say, must one really believe this? Is this necessary? Is it not enough if one has become a believer? Just be honest now, this morning, be honest. Does not every fellowship and every denomination believe in their own way? Do they not all bring forth after their own kind? As we can read it in one sermon. But there must be a divine kind, a church in which not the creeds of men, but in which God's holy word is the only guideline. And this is the church of the living God. There are many denominations, but only one church. And that it goes one step further. Within this church, there is a bride. So, even the bride is called out from the church. And these are then the overcomers. These are those who have part in the first resurrection, who are taken up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So, the matter is not so simple as the people would like to have it. And nevertheless, it's not hopeless, because we have put our hope in the Lord, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this nobody can take from us. God's word was laid into us as a seed. And now somebody may say, but we don't see much now. Beloved, how long does a wheat corn need until finally one sees the full wheat in the ear? First the growth, the leaves, the stalk, and then the husk, and at the end the full wheat in the ear. But in this growth is already the life, which then at the end is gathered as the full fruit, which then can be harvested. And so it will be at the end of this time. A perfect fruit will be there. We read, then if we are walking in the God-given light of the hour, then God takes that word that's given for the hour and vindicates it, just like he did in Genesis 1, verse 3, when he said, "Let there be light." Did you understand it? The word which God spoke for this time, it will be vindicated in the same way, just as the word which he spoke in Genesis 1, verse 3. "Let there be light," and there was light. Doesn't this strengthen us in our faith? In the same way, the same God who spoke at the beginning is the same God who speaks at the end. And in his word is the same power. And it will bring forth in you and in me. Not you and not I will bring forth, but the power of God, by the same word, it will bring forth in you and in me that what we have received by faith as the promise of God. And it continues, "And the light came forth." His word went forth, and the light followed it and cleared away the mist. And the darkness went to one corner, and the light shined on the other side. That's the way God does today. He sends his word for this hour, and the Holy Spirit comes and makes that word alive. And the darkness goes on to their creeds and denominations, but the light shines, because it's the word of God being vindicated that his word is true. Now, there is nothing fictitious about that. That's just exactly the scripture. These are wonderful statements which we have to read again and again. We emphasize it recently that we, by the inspired sermons, we cannot just ignore them. We must deepen ourselves in them, and we must permit that God quickens his word in us. It continues. So will wise men today, who is not blinded by creeds, will follow the God-given spoken word till they see the fullness of the power of God blooming forth in this hour. They see it, and they know that it's here in the scripture. God promised it for this day. Also, this is a wonderful word. The same it is with the church, with them who believe today. The God-given spoken word, they will see it blooming because it was given for this hour. As then, everything was veiled in darkness, nothing on life was there, so it also is now. Suddenly, as we said before, suddenly everything was blooming. God spoke, and it came forth. God spoke, and it comes forth. Nobody will stop it. It continues. There is nothing that can give you life but only the spoken word of God. It's the only way where that life can come is through his spoken word. Beloved, one can fool oneself with spiritual life. With much music, one can create an atmosphere somehow. And the people, they think probably, this is spiritual life. Beloved, spiritual life comes only there where the spiritual seed was sown first. How can a farmer expect that wheat comes forth on his field if he has not sown at all? First, the sowing must take place, and then the harvest can be expected. So it is with the word of God. The word of God is the seed, and the word is being sown, And the word for this time is sown into the church now. And it will come forth as sure as God said it. We may say, when? This is not our matter. This is God's matter. Let us be patient, because it's written, we are in need of patience so that we receive the promise of God. We are coming very quickly, we get impatient and we want to fulfill God's promises, and then Ishmael comes forth and somebody else, and we have great trouble. God will take his time, but not too much. He will know precisely when he has to act. It continues, but those who are still on the tree of life shall come to a new heavens and a new earth, where there is no sickness or death. Light, light, Lord, send us light. This is like a prayer. We have wonderful promises in the Word of God, but the cry for light is just here. Let there be light, and it was light. At evening time there should be light, and it happened. Listen, what is being said here. It were the angels of God that showed light upon the hill to guide the shepherds to the eternal light. See, it only comes by light. Life can only come by light. You know, when a king is born, they have singing, great carrying on when the king is born. Now, he was so secretly born, and born in a stable, in a manger, where the cattle and horses was eating. And the angels came down and sang the hymns to the shepherds in the light. The angels themselves were lights that showed with the word of God. They had the word of God and told them, today in the city of David, in Bethlehem, is born Christ the Lord. The angels had the word, and the word came by light to guide them, and they followed the word of the angels to the eternal light. Is this not so one a wonderful comparison? It was night, and the darker it is, the brighter the light becomes. At daytime, when the sun shines, when one turns on the light, it has no meaning. One asks oneself, why should I turn on the light? But when there's the dark night, and suddenly it says, and the angel came, and the light shone around them, and everything was illuminated. And in this illumination coming from heaven, the word of promise came forth in this hour. Hallelujah! In the same way it is now. In the heavenly illumination, the word of promise goes forth for this hour to the people of God. And what did we read? Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory of the Lord was upon them, and the Lord was already amongst them. He was lying already in a manger, and the glory was upon them. Oh, what a grace of God! God is able to do all things. He can be above us, he can be in us, he can be amongst us, around us. Who wants to tell him where he cannot be? He can be everywhere. And the people break their heads around it and say, huh, there was the glory of the Lord upon them, and the Lord was in the manger, and God was also in heaven. Oh, don't you worry. We believe every word of God just as it is written, and we say in our hearts, yes and amen to it. We're not clever people who like to research these things and explaining it, but we're just simple people who may believe with all their hearts what God has said. I come to the close now. On the day of Pentecost, that was the light that showed when the Holy Ghost had come. In Isaiah 28, it says, here a little and there a little precept must be upon precept, for with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people. That's how it's written in the prophet Isaiah. And this is the rest, this is the Sabbath that I will go. And all this they would not hear. This is a wonderful word. Do this and do that. And then God will do, and then you will do. Just do nothing and look on that, what God has done in Christ. Receive it and let God work in you that what he likes to do. Let his word accomplish something in us. Otherwise, we will just become religious fanatics who are better than all the others, or who think to be better than all the others. But this doesn't help anyone. The light broke forth on the day of Pentecost. Light came into the church. She was filled and equipped with a power from on high to carry the word and to carry out the Great Commission. The promise became reality. God fulfilled it. Now it was no more a word which had to be expected still, but it was a fulfilled promise which took place there, which happened there. So we see it in this time. For a specific period of time, the word of God remains a promise, and suddenly it is being fulfilled, and we have part in that what God is doing, beloved. The hour has come in which God wants to do something, not you and not I and not somebody else, in which God wants to do what he planned. He sent his word, he made us well, and after we have been made well, he wants to make the word a reality through us. That it's not only written as a promise in this book, which we call Bible, but that it can come forth as a reality. It continues, now in all ages, God has set forth so much of his word for each age. God always sends somebody that the word can get into and show the light of it. That every age, it does the same thing, always does that. He was the fulfillment, as I said, of all of the divine holy powers of the prophets. As I said, they were minor gods. When the word of the Lord came to a man, Jesus said himself that he was a God. You know that. He said, if your law said, and your fathers back there called them who the word of God came to, called them gods, how can you condemn me, saying when I said I'm the son of that God? See, when the very God himself who spoke the word through the prophets, he was the manifestation of that spoken word. And if the prophet was called a God because he was the manifestation of another prophet's word, how can you condemn him when he was the same thing? He was the Son of God, as he shall be called the Son of God. Beloved, you who you were here last night, you know that the place from, I was reading the place from John 10 last night, not so. And I tell you now the truth, before God, I didn't know that this is written in this sermon. And when I was reading this morning. And underlining this part, I wrote down the time, 7 o'clock and 55 minutes. This morning, not yesterday, this morning, 7:55 this morning, I read this passage. And God is my witness. I didn't know that this passage is written in this sermon. Last night, we spoke about it. Not so. I ask you, is this not the leading of the Holy Spirit? Has God not confirmed it? Not only confirming it, I don't need a confirmation. God confirms His word. He didn't vindicate Moses. He didn't vindicate Abraham. He vindicated the word which these men believed and received. That's how it is with us. Did He confirm Paul? He confirmed the word which these men carried. I myself, I was so happy this morning that God is leading us in such a wonderful way. Here it is being said from the mouth of Him through whom God spoke in a special way, that the prophets were called gods because the word was addressed and came to them. Beloved, we are really not only children of men, we are children of God by the faith in Jesus Christ. We are still in a human body, but this doesn't mean that this human body not one day will be changed. It will be changed. The mortal must put on immortality. The corruptible must put on incorruption. That's how it is written. And our Lord will return and take us up to Himself. He appeared into the body of flesh in which we are to take upon Himself the sin which happened in this sinful body of flesh. Beloved, this is a great work of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. He took upon Himself all your sin, all my sin. He took upon Himself. Although we receive the forgiveness today, yet already then we were forgiven. As Brother Bram says in one sermon, if somebody would come today and say, I want to be healed by God today, then I must tell him, you were already healed when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, for thus it is written, He was wounded and bruised and so forth. The chastisement was laid upon Him, and by His stripes we were healed. Let us believe in a perfect, finished work of redemption for all the redeemed of our God. They have part in that, what He is doing in this time. Now, in a couple of minutes, we must come to the water baptism. And I don't want to miss to welcome our dear visit from the embassy of Zaire in the city of Bonn. Be welcome. And this in the name of the Lord. You, who you are a bit informed, you know what God has done. This we don't have to line out more. And as far as I understand, these precious brethren who we really love, they want to be baptized. They believe with all their hearts. And at this occasion, because right now, after this service, there will be a scriptural water baptism. Therefore, I would like to point to it, that all who are not yet baptized biblically, with this is really meant of what it is reported in the Word of God. First comes faith, and not just some kind of faith, but the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Many people, they have A faith in a church, this is no faith at all, as God calls it. But here it is about the faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. All who believe with all their hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary for their sin and guilt, and that he has shed his holy and precious blood to atone for our sins and to forgive them. He who believes in such a way in Jesus Christ, the crucified one and the risen Lord, and this, receiving it by faith in his heart, he has the right to be baptized. Because the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he who does not believe shall be condemned. And the same way the Bible says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, first, the preaching from the word of God about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, must come so that we can believe in him as our Redeemer. And receiving by faith that before God we were justified, not because of that what we are doing, but because of that what he has done. And I tell you, he who believes in Jesus Christ, in him, the power of God is becoming effective, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is a power of God to them who believe. And this divine power transforms us from a smoker and drunkard, suddenly becomes a man who doesn't smoke and doesn't drink anymore. I don't speak of drinking coffee and also not drinking tea, you know that. But there are people who are just addicted. They cannot rule over the things, but the things are ruling over them. And everything what rules over you, this you cannot rule. Either you rule over them, or the matter rules over you. And such people who are ruled by certain things, they are called captives. They are captives of these addictions and habits. Through the faith in Jesus Christ, man becomes free from all that. Suddenly, the chains have fallen off from us. And the people who were chain smokers, and probably they smoked 40 cigarettes a day, they make the first, they take a cigarette and they almost have to vomit. Such a disgust comes upon them when they take the cigarette and they throw it away and say, God doesn't want it. I have no chimney where the smoke can come forth. You see? And then they know already what they have to do, and they recognize that God made them free. And if somebody is addicted to alcohol and he must have it, then I tell you, then you must be delivered from it. Then you are dominated by the thing. And this is not right before God. The Bible says, whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Everything of what we are ruled of, we must be delivered of it. And thanks be to God, it took place through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are not here today to make a try, to give it a try, to not smoke anymore, to not drink anymore. If you make tries, yeah. I don't want to be a guinea pig here. Why shall we try? We will not succeed anyhow. We want to leave it up to God that he does it and he will do it. We say, Lord, here I am, do in me your work by your grace. And you will see that it will take place. It will no more be a battle, but it will be a victory which God has given to each one who comes to Him. I said this in reference to them who have come very young to the faith, and outwardly one doesn't see it, but inward we have seen it. We experienced it yesterday morning. Many and great things took place by God, and for this we are grateful. Now there's the wish that there is a water baptism. We will see it. And therefore, this brief thoughts about the biblical baptism, that all those who really have become believers in Jesus Christ, that they walk on with God and are also baptized biblically. And to this is given today a good occasion. May God bless all richly is our prayer. Amen.